would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, all right, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either going to kill or he's going to suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John forward.
And I've just been trying to say that my name is John Forward, and you're listening to my radio show called St. John Forward Radio, and I can't hear myself in the earphones. There we go. There it is. I'm talking as if you guys could hear the volume correction happening in my headphones. You probably will by the, maybe my voice has modulated to react to the auditory feedback that I'm getting live through the use of technology. Who knows? But you're knowing it now because you're listening on St. John Forward Radio live on Victoria Day night, 9 o'clock. I guess I technically am getting paid time and a half, but it is 0 times 1.5. So here on the holiday, I had the option of not coming in, but I didn't want to disappoint the fans. Just coming off a, if you're listening to this show, you probably know that, that I'm running a comedy show in town called No Jokes Barred, which is coming up on the 3-year anniversary next month. We just had a show at the R Bar on this past Saturday, and, it was a great time. The crowd was a little thin. It was still a decent crowd, but it was thinner than it had been. The last 2 or 3 months in a row, I think it's been like standing room only in there. There were enough seats for everybody this time. But it was a long weekend, so people were probably away doing stuff, not wanting to laugh. They're probably at home celebrating the British monarchy. That's probably what they're supposed to be doing on Saturday night of the Victoria Day weekend. It was a good show. We had a couple of people down from Fredericton making their first performances on No Jokes Barred, and they did well. We have some returning champions who also did well. We had one guy that either drank too much or ate too little, probably a combination of the two, and became the first person ever to perform too inebriated on that R-Bar stage. It was a historic moment, and I'm glad I was there for it. But the news of the night, I think, was the return of Trevor Muxworthy, also from Fredericton. He's been a little out of the game for the past little while. He made an appearance with me at Chuckles back, I don't remember, sometime over the winter. It was when Scott Belford was in town, and he did the Every Comedian in New Brunswick show back in either October or November, and that's about it. He might have done the Wizard's Room a couple of times up in Fredericton, but this was his long-awaited return to the R Bar, and he did really well. I thought that it was the set of the night. He had some interesting news to share with just the room that I'm not going to repeat on the podcast, but there's exciting things happening in his life, and he seemed in good spirits, and I was happy to see it. Balanced out a little bit. I was kind of having a weird weekend myself, because I got some news on Friday afternoon at work that I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. I'm still processing. But over the last little while at work, we've been hearing that the company is doing so well, and just big enthusiastic team meetings where the big boss is like, hey, at 3:50, everybody meet me out in operations, and we're going to all... And everybody stops working and stops answering the phone, and we stand around in a circle and watch this man tell us how awesome everything is, and we're making money and people are meeting their targets and quotas and such, and all the divisions are doing the best ever. And the last quarterly bonus that I got was probably the biggest one that I've gotten in the past 5 years that I've been working there. We've got our second quarterly meeting tomorrow, and there'll probably be more bonuses. And the big thing going on at work, they're rolling out this this new initiative that is essentially a big, fat, expensive smooch on our corporate overlord's OCD ass. But everybody's pretending that they're really excited about it. There's new walls being put up. They're doing landscaping. They have cleaned the carpets for the first time in a decade. They're painting colored lines on concrete floors. There's a sticker that says cups on the cup shelf. That was surely a career highlight for everyone that was involved with this whole thing. I like to picture them in a job interview someday, proudly touting their accomplishments and making sure everybody puts away their pens and post-it notes at the end of the day. And all this stuff, we're fixing everything up because we're succeeding and we want to look successful. So, of course, I get summoned into my boss's office at 4:30 on a Friday before the long weekend, and he tosses out like 45 seconds of asking me about something or other that he clearly wasn't interested in. He must have read this tactic in some kind of a management book, so I appreciate the effort. But then, he comes to like, so, does this person want this? And like, yeah, this person does this. And then this one's that. Okay. Well, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. There are four people who currently have the same job that I do, and, they're cutting it down to three because they don't think that we're busy enough. And, they want me to, go back to my old position that I had before I got this promotion, which was, shift work, and I hated it. I did it for 3 years, and I was pretty close to quitting when I got this promotion to the Monday to Friday thing. And this job that I used to have has been unfilled for many months now. I've been doing my current job for 2 years, but throughout that 2 years, there's been four different people that have come into that position and been trained for it, and just when they're figuring it out and learning how to do a good job at it, they're like, hey, we want you to do this thing over here instead, and we're going to leave this position open, and it's really important. But anyway, so that's been open. They want me to go back to it. This is essentially the same shift that I had a bit of a mental breakdown over many months ago that you can listen to the back episodes. That was a part of it, but going back to shift work is not going to be conducive to my mental health, and it's just bad. It's not good being on a different schedule than my wife, and working every other weekend is bad enough, but there's only four people that do this job in pairs of two, and they are the people that need to cover each other off. So in addition to the regular every other weekend, it's probably pretty much every weekend for the summer covering for people that are on vacations or just calling sick because they don't feel like coming in. But I don't know. Back then, it upset me more when that prospect was looming because they were changing up the entire office and I was being kind of forced into it. But now I'm in a position where they're asking me to do it, and my boss gave me the weekend to think about it. Right away, I said, well, what if I say no? And of course, this is an organization that's a well-oiled machine, so they've got all the contingency plans out. So he explained very clearly that we'll have to figure something out then. So I'm probably going to have that conversation tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to figuring it out along with everybody else. But tonight, though, we got to focus on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with my guest, Ian Estey. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, baby?
I'm doing much better now that I hear your voice in these cans.
I promised certain people that I'd talk this way on the radio.
All right. Well, I'm glad to know that it's Ian Esty in the house and not the Velvet Monkey.
No, it's discussed. Me. It's me.
Making your long-awaited return. We'll get into your Campus Radio backstory, as I'm sure it will come up. But before we get into it with Ian here, we're going to get to a song. But until now, I think I'm at as far as the answer to the will you go back to your terrible position that you hated before, I'm probably going to have the same answer that I had if he had given me 5 seconds to think about it. And it's going to be a hell no. And I'm not sure what they're going to figure out. They might find me something else to do, or I don't know. Worse comes to worse. I might just have to start packing my bags. But we'll find out tomorrow. I'll tell you about it next week.
I'm packing my bags. I'm packing my bags. The man wearing night upon my rights. I'm packing my bags. I'm packing my bags. She just smiles at my tailwind. She got the money. She got the honey. I got the sunny days ahead. She got the cocoa. She got the cocoa. It's gonna ease my aching head. I'm begging my bags. I'm begging my bags.
Welcome back to St. John Forward Radio. That was Packing My Bags by White Cowbell, Oklahoma. I was just telling Ian that saw them years ago at the Capitol in Fredericton, and it was one of the best live rock shows I've ever seen. So you should go check it out if you have the chance.
That tune was hot. There's no doubt about it. That was great.
They've got lots of good tunes. I don't know if it's still up or not, but they had on their website, I remember, like in the early days of... of the internet. They were putting on like little like videos and stuff that they had recorded, kind of. In retrospect, seemed like kind of Hovlandish, except for their character was, they're Canadian, but they're like southern redneck kind of characters.
I have some Googling to do.
Yeah, but live show included chainsaws and toilet paper, so always worth seeing.
Well, that's a combination that just works, you know, in any genre.
Right.
We'll use that trick in filmmaking one day.
I'm up for any chainsaw-related projects that you have in the future.
Nice. I'll call you on board as my chainsaw consultant.
Right. I once rented a chainsaw from Home Depot while wearing a Leatherface t-shirt. I didn't realize until afterwards, but...
Don't drop start the chainsaw. Don't do it.
Okay.
No. That's all I know.
I'll keep that in mind.
My father once told me never drop start a chainsaw. I don't know what it means, but it's
Mean you just hold on to the cord and just drop the rest of the chainsaw instead of pulling the cord?
I think that might be it. The concept being it hits the ground and does nasty things if it catches and takes off. And
I think I've only used an electric chainsaw myself. I don't know if I've ever... I don't remember. I think I have a gas one now, actually. I don't remember.
Well, I don't have either, so I live in the city.
I do too, but there's a tree on the side of my house that needs to be trimmed back every now and then. It also grows into my fence, which is ugly business.
Do you think it silently screams over time as you're cutting its limbs off?
Audibly screams. I can hear it and I enjoy it.
Nice. It's like boiling a lobster.
Yeah, exactly. So,
not to be cruel.
So, ENSD, what are you doing here?
Well,
let's give the listeners, who the hell are you?
Well, my name's Ian Estee, and I'm a failed wannabe broadcaster and a IT trainer manager dude by day and a wannabe comedian failed musician by night. Nice. Father, mother, you know, all that stuff, all rolled into one.
Well, this is St. John Forward Radio, so as a fellow corporate weasel, what do you think of my situation?
Well, what do I think of your situation? Well, you know, one of the things I'd have to say is that if you've had issues in the past related to specific shift types that may be documented... you may have a very real argument to decline without retaliation. And those words that I choose are very real words, to decline without fear of retaliation.
Well, and the without retaliation is in quotation marks, because this is a big corporation.
Well, that's true. I mean, if the position no longer exists, then the position no longer exists, and the choices are apparent. Either there's a role appropriate to your skill set that can be filled, or there's no longer a position to be filled by you.
Yeah.
Right? However, that comes with bonuses and, you know, justifications that have to be made. One of the things that is incumbent, I believe, based on my training, is that we, if I had in some previous company that I've been a boss in, and there's been a couple, if I had somebody that I knew, because it was disclosed and documented to me through appropriate channels, that somebody had issues, say, working overnights, just saying, I would have to reasonably accommodate that documented situation. Right. You know, if all things being equal, the employee otherwise has great attendance, the employees meet all other metrics that we've asked them to adhere to, and, you know, their performance reviews are at least fair, then we have a reasonable accommodation we need to make.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping for. The reason that they're even asking me, well, I can't tell if it's just a completely tone-deaf thing or if they know that the answer is going to be no and they're just going through the motions.
Perhaps. I can tell you that I have processes and motions that I have to go through. If you were my employee and I were your manager and I asked you to take another, and I said, listen, your position's no longer going to be here. I have this other position for you. Will you take it? I would then consult our process department, and I would ask them what I have to do.
There's been a conversation with HR.
Yeah, of course there is. And, you know, they would lay out to me what, basically, what dog and pony show. I mean, to be polite, you know, we have hoops we have to jump through, and we have things we have to say, right? And we have ways we have to handle situations. You know, there's an employee handbook and there's a manager's handbook.
Yeah.
We follow the manager's handbook.
Well, and back many months ago when I believe when I first told you about my issues that I was having at work and that my doctor was putting me out on leave, I think you told me through things that you've heard And I've heard from other people too that work within the same organization that I do that, stress leave. They're going to start looking for a reason to get rid of you.
Well, yeah. I mean,
there's back channel conversations that happen.
I think the context here is a little more shallow than the context and we were talking. But yeah basically, I'll say it right now. Okay, I work for a very currently progressive organization that is very, very accommodating, but I want to set that aside, okay? So there's a disclaimer for me. Right. I have worked for other organizations at fairly senior levels where behind closed doors, there's been, you know, what I would call unprofessional comments and unprofessional actions taken against people who have routine and regular issues. Mm-hmm. And there are ways that big organizations can deal with that asset. They can deal with that asset in many ways. Sometimes, and you know, if the term is sometimes, people get either rightfully or wrongfully managed out the door, and that's the term, managed out the door.
Do you think it's
if you're going to manage somebody out the door, you follow the manager's handbook?
Yeah.
And HR tells you how to do it.
And I think if I am being managed out the door, I think I'm okay with it. And if they have to manage someone out the door, I understand that I'm very capable in the job that I have, especially compared to some other people, but I've made no secret that I am not happy there and that I'm seeking work elsewhere. So If they got to get rid of somebody, it might as well be the guy that obviously hates it.
It is a reasonable accommodation for an organization to offer you another position. Yeah. Might not be the position that you want or want as accommodation, but it is a reasonable accommodation. So
yeah. Do you think it's cynical that I'm picturing a smoky back room where they're like, John Forward had a mental breakdown last time we tried to put him on shift work. Let's offer him another shift work that is exactly the same thing and see what happens.
I completely think that's very cynical. I think that's very cynical. I mean, I am and have been the manager in those closed doors, and I can tell you across many organizations that I have not once been a part of a conversation where it's, how do we manage him out the door? It's always been, how do we save him? How do we save her? What do we need to do? Now, I'll give you an example, right? This is management of a person. I once ran a team of 17 people, and I had a couple who just couldn't show up for their shifts on time, but due to seniority, they had prime pick of the litter, so to speak.
Do we pay Dungeons and Dragons with any of those people?
No, absolutely not. Good question, though. He wasn't on my team and didn't report to me. That's why we're still friends. Good question. Ah, you're funny. All right, so anyway, I gave him an opportunity. I said, listen, man, you can't come in on time in the morning, so I have a great opportunity for you. There's a brand new 2 to 11 shift, 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. I said, it's yours. No worries. You can spend all morning. You sleep right in. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And he stared at me for a second. I said, nope, it's your shift. You've got it. No need to thank me. And he stared at me, and I said, well, you know, if you're really married to the shift you have, you're going to show up on time going forward, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Problem corrected.
Well, I don't think my company has any interest in trying to keep me, because they've had opportunities before. Like, well, when the last shift change was looming, I applied pretty hard for another internal position that they decided to ignore the fact that I'm an internal candidate and hired somebody else because they liked their resume better. Knowing that I was having a very bad time.
I would say that all things given, wow, I really sound like I'm championing management and big business here. I would say all things considered, and the point of view as presented, and I choose that very carefully because there's two sides to every coin, Joe. Not that I don't trust you at all, but not privy to the other hand of the conversation, you know, it's really hard to say, right? It's like a doctor trying to diagnose a set of symptoms without ever examining the patient, without being behind those closed doors. But I'll tell you, I don't think there's ever a closed room with how do we get rid of people. I was once involved in a company prior to where I am today, just in case any of them are listening, prior to where I am today, where layoffs were coming, and we wound up having to stack rank our team into thirds, top third performers, middle third performers, and bottom third performers. And when management's asked to do tasks like that, there are measurable primary categories, there are measurable secondary categories, and then there are tertiary objectives, and these can be subjective. Either way, when you stack rank your people, it's a prelude to things coming, right? Layoffs happen in an organization, and you tend to want to align yourself to be successful, not unsuccessful. If you went to my management school. Yeah. Not everybody did.
Yeah, well, the position that I was even applying for was not like a high-level thing. And from what I understand, it would not have been a difficult job I was not unqualified for. I'm sure the person that they hired instead has a really good resume with lots of stuff on it that I don't have, but none of that stuff is anything that's really required. It's just kind of a get for the company, which I get. I understand, but you would think they would have some loyalty to the person that's been working there for 5 years.
I don't know. Are you a bit of a jerk? I mean, like, I don't know. What are you like at work, man?
I'm only a bit of a
nice
jerk.
Guy?
I get along with people. I'm a bit of a jerk in that when stupid things are being forced upon me, I will ask questions and push back a little bit.
But stupid to whose perspective? Yours or theirs?
All objective reality. Yeah, well, just as an example, this past failed shift change that I narrowly avoided led to the loss of one very good person off our team who quit, and we didn't end up even doing it, and it was poorly thought out and poorly executed, and it was kind of dead in the water, and for all the ruckus that it caused, sends John Forward out on stress leave.
I gotta ask. I don't mean to interrupt. Do you hang like posters for your radio show around the office?
No.
Like, do you think these people that we're conversing about might actually be listening?
I doubt it. But I'm just having a conversation about my life, which I'm speaking as the character Saint John Forward.
That was great. Yeah, that's good.
Who works for a cupcake delivery company?
Nice.
And he runs a fleet of cupcake delivery trucks.
Very good. I like cupcakes.
Yeah, and I just want to get those cupcakes to our customers, but all of this management red tape gets in the way.
Look, I said this to somebody at some point in time in that isn't right now, and I said they were complaining about some, you know, chaos and how slow things change in the business. And I said, you know, the thing is, the larger a business gets, the more it relies on its processes and procedures to manage that business to avoid chaos. So smaller businesses get to make decisions, you know, and pivot on a dime. They're like little tiny power boats that get to scoot all around, whereas the big ship of business, such as, you know, some common employers around southern New Brunswick, and that's just what we'll leave it at, mm-hmm. they're so big and so massive with not hundreds of employees, but thousands of employees, and geographically dispersed, that in order for those people at the board of director level and, you know, the executive level to control this business, they rely very heavily on written, established processes and procedures. And when you get down to the management level, very rarely does management get involved in making a lot of decisions, yeah. or at least not in IT, where I come from. It's my job to manage the direction as given to me by the executive, right?
Yeah, well, and it is a big company, and there's stuff that comes down. Most of the big changes, it comes from HR, and there's always a note, like, that these things can change at the discretion of the manager. Like, for one example, one thing that nobody within my actual office probably has any control over, but they've decided to not allow anybody to bank overtime for days off. You got to get paid out.
Yeah.
Which has had the effect of, well, screw that. I'm not coming in on my day off. A lot of people want the time off more than they want the extra time sure. and a half money on top of
sure.
it. So those people are just going to say no.
I got to ask. I wonder if people were tuning in expecting this to actually be funny or a deep dive discussion into business management policies.
All right, let's take a break and maybe reset from the business stuff.
I mean, I could talk about it all night. Trust me, and will.
Well, let's give people a breather, at least for now. Maybe we'll circle back around to it. Which of your two songs do you want me to play and tell us about it?
Man. Well, see, I got two songs that I picked, and one is really high intense, high energy, kind of like 80s prog out of like Ireland and or Scotland. Not Scotland or Ireland. Nah, either or. Anyway, somewhere on the other side of the ocean. But I think we're gonna bring it down. We're going to get a little crazy. We're going to play Butter the Soul by a band called Corner Shop. Oh, yeah. And this is like time that's this fragments time. Like, if any of the university listenership may be partaking of anything that might enlighten your soul or spirit, this is going to mess you up. So turn the volume down. But turn it right back on after, because you don't want to miss any more of this witty repartee.
All right. Butter the Soul on St. John Forward Radio.
We'll be right back. is rising, and he'll be listening to CFMH 107.3 FM.
All right, we got one from the archives.
You know what I like best about hearing that is I actually heard that long before I ever met you. So I had the, like, this image of this guy that was so not you.
I don't remember where I got the background creepy Cthulhu Fatagan chants from.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Those memories fade to time. Old.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are no longer CFMA. I think they technically are still.
Well, yeah, CFMA. That's still the call signs.
They don't advertise
call letters.
You're listening to local FM, and we're here with Business Chat with ENSD.
Hey, don't listen to me, you university students. I'm college trained.
Yeah.
You can't trust anything those college people give you.
Yeah, I've got 2 degrees, and I'm not using either of them at my...
Should I make fun of the university kids chasing their business degrees, and then I tell them my qualification is an ITIL Foundations version 3 certification?
That sounds really funny.
Yeah, the business degree people are right mad at me right now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they do, and they're quite upset.
But aside from being a corporate shill... You are a musician, a video producer, photographer,
yeah,
comedian,
yeah,
spoken word artist,
yeah.
What did you used to do here at the station?
And
when?
Oh God! Well, back in the '90s, I was on the board of directors, and I was the station engineer for several years. I lost count.
What does that mean? What did you do?
Well,
in charge of the antenna?
No. We actually had a different antenna guy. I was in charge of, like, all the stuff in the booth here. And it was back in a time when we were still running, like, soundboards you'd use in a band. Mm-hmm. And we just had, like, mics on light stands, you know, kind of dangling around. And everything was direct hard-lined into the transmitter, which I think was down there on one of the halls, on Ganong Hall. And no automation in here at all. And I brought in the first computer, and it was like running like Windows 2000 or something like that. And we lined it into the board, and I showed them how to use Winamp and Windows Scheduler to start scheduling MP3 and WAV files. And then boom, the first technological leap forward since the analog era. At CFMH happened.
I probably came in right after that. I think I came in the year after they had their signal boost. It was when Jana was a station manager. Mm-hmm. I was the music librarian. I think I was in 2001. Actually, no, it would have been around 2001 because I remember when September 11th happened, I was buying blank CDs at the Radio Shack.
Yeah.
That I was going to use to burn CDs from the library here.
Yeah, and then it was myself. The gang that I remember was like myself, Linda Peltier, Judd Crandall. Of course, Judd spanned many administrations.
Yeah, he was the program director, I think, when I was around.
Later on, yeah. I don't know what he finished out at. He's not quite as involved anymore.
I think he was the station manager after Jana.
Could be. I tell you, I left under some interesting circumstances. Do tell. So I also I was involved in some of the training for new disc jockeys coming in, and I'd show them how to work the boards and everything, not like this crazy blinking stuff. While you were doing your monologue, I wish I had heard it, but I was too busy zoned out on the flashing lights. It was quite hypnotic, but, we were at the board of directors. CFMH was starving. We had no money. It was getting bad. And then all our senior citizen volunteers who pretty much, you know, we had 2 paid commercials on the radio station, and they were both brought in by the Morning Time senior broadcasters. Yeah. And so therefore they had like a financial stranglehold on the station. And the seniors of the day had decided that they wanted their parking subsidized, to which we simply couldn't afford it. We had license renewal, and we had transmitter maintenance, and these things are very important for a radio station.
Parking on campus?
Yeah, huh?
You couldn't just say, hey, let these people park here to campus police?
There was a whole big deal. There was monies involved, and it didn't matter, because if it took 15 cents, we didn't have it. We had just enough money to pay the licensing board and to make our transmitter,
I think when I was around, I was told kind of off the record that if you came in to do your show and you got a ticket, just to bring it in and it would be taken care of.
I'm sure that was probably somebody with a generous heart. But if you don't go to the campus, don't pay your ticket, right? I don't know, who cares?
Yeah, well, they're not going to hold back our marks or something.
No, I said, if anybody from management's listening, I'm just kidding, guys.
I'm parked in the staff parking lot right now.
So the seniors of the day, and we'll just call them the seniors, and I love senior citizens, but this particular group was getting quite ornery and about to cost us our radio station. Now, when I was teaching people broadcasting, I'd have a rule. Now listen, John Forward, you're about to broadcast on the Queen's airwaves. And if you're going to broadcast, I'll slip my radio voice on. And if you're going to broadcast on the Queen's airwaves, you got to follow the Queen's rules. Rule number one, you don't come in here and say anything that you wouldn't say in front of your dear old grandmother. Always assume the mics are on.
I can say a lot of things in front of my grandmother. I'm actually, seriously, I'm going to have one or both of my grandmothers in here some night.
I'll listen to that show. John Forward, we told you you'd amount to this.
No, but they're very proud of me.
So I come in one Saturday to do my maintenance, and the program director of the day, and I won't mention any names, Derek Wirtz, he comes in and he says...
Oh, what?
What? There's a call?
Adam Landry is trying to call me.
I'll answer the phone. I'll let him interrupt the story.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, it works.
Oh, good. I'm on the radio. You're on the air.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, good. Who's the special guest this week?
Ian Esty. You know me, baby.
I don't think he can't hear you through the... It's not plugged in, through stuff. I think he just hears me through the microphone.
Hi, Adam.
But can the people on the air hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah.
But Ian can't hear me, though.
Oh, I can hear you.
Ian can hear you because my phone is plugged into the board. The microphone isn't going through the phone. I think you're just picking up my voice over the air.
Oh, I see. So if I say bad stuff about Ian...
No, he can hear you. You just can't hear him.
Oh, God.
Right. what context is he there under?
He's given me some business tips because I might be getting laid off work.
Okay. I'll go in and I can give you some better business tips because you don't want to listen to his. That's how I got in the position I'm in. The tips I will give you is basically do the opposite of all of his tips.
All right. Fair enough.
It's not true. Follow me. I'm brilliant.
So I assume you weren't calling the radio show on purpose. Did you have something that you want me to call you back with after we're done?
No, I totally remembered that you're on the air every Monday. And that's, I called just to let you know because it was like spider sense.
Or wait, am I speaking to Adam or Spike right now?
Well, it depends. It's Spike. I have multiple names that I go by. People call me Adam. I can't remember why, but Spike.
All right. Well, I was...
But yeah, if you could call me back after, that'd be good, too. All right. It's totally related.
I will do so. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, that was so funny.
So you clashed with...
Closure on the story. No, the program manager come in. I'm in on Saturday. He's standing there. He says, so Ian, rough board meeting last night. And I had been torn a strip by our senior citizen representative on the board. And I just said, I think enough time has passed that this is okay. So I looked at him. I looked at the guy, Derek Wirtz, and I said, oh, my God, why won't Mr. Black just hurry up and die already? I mean, the guy's so old. I mean, Jesus, how much longer can he have? For the love of criminy and all things holy, when is he just going to crawl into... The phone starts ringing.
Mm-hmm.
I look over. I answer the phone. CFMH booth, Ian speaking. How can I help you?
I think I know where this is going.
It's the head of the board of directors, who himself is a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, shut up. Stop talking now. The mics are on. And me and the program director, Derek Wirtz, look over at the board, and sure enough, every fader's up, every light is on, these mics are hot as heck. And I hang up the phone, and I reef the levels down, and I hang my shoulders forward. I look at Derek. I hand him my can of compressed air, and I say, "Well, it's been a good ride."
Yeah,
I think was the end of
we've had a few microphones left on troublesome moments where we're talking over the music. I don't think anybody noticed, but there was some dicey moments.
Now, I didn't mention any names per se, but yeah, that was the end of me.
Yeah, well, we got kicked off the radio one night because we had a complaint, not from a senior citizen, but
I love seniors, by the way.
The way that we referred, you probably know who I'm talking about. The way that we referred to this guy on the air was a middle-aged, bald metalhead. Was a prominent member of the campus radio community back in the day that exchanged unpleasant words with myself. I think he called me one night to accuse us of being subpar Howard Stern shock jock wannabes. I think was the language.
That's
that
high praise. That's high praise, man.
He didn't think so.
Oh, it's too bad.
It was like back in the day when I was doing the MC Crosswalk character, and I was I'm not going to say his name either, but there's a person in the local music scene that had offered to give me just burn a disc of like his samples mm-hmm. collection so that I could make beats. And then he decided to change his mind and that he had never offered it to begin with. And I think he meant to insult me, but he said that I was like a Weird Al mixed with Vanilla Ice. And I was like, all right, good, I'll take it.
That's good. It's a bucket. I'm in it. Oh man.
All right. Well, yeah,
that feels like we've hit a lull.
I found that Cthulhu ID that we had earlier was from the vaults. We also have a classic ENSD that's appropriate for the season. Let's hear that for 10 seconds.
Jingle bells, Batman's milk, Robin Lady A.
The staff and volunteers of CFMH wish you a classy holiday season.
So there we go. We wish you a classy summer season also.
I love that radio voice I had on the go there. That's me, fresh out of journalism school almost, except, 7 years in between.
Yeah, so let's let's play your other song, and then we'll come back for the end of the show to talk about your you as a performer of music and comedy. And things, so
Incommunicado by the band Marillion.
St. John Forward Radio.
That's how I feel most of the time. It fades in.
Fade, fire, stop. That's what I remember from my training.
Incommunicado. I'm a hockey player. and live on a scene. Currently residing in the where and now fight to be in the cavalry scene. I wanna do adverts for American Express cars, talk shows on primetime TV. I'm there in France, my home cocktail bar, and that's where you're gonna find me. In communicado, in communicado.
That always makes me smile.
Slow fade.
Slow fade, baby.
There's another couple minutes left in that song, but we're running out of time, and the people that are listening to this show, so far they've heard you talk about business, campus radio, behind the scenes.
Yep.
You're also a performer of sorts.
Yep.
Music for a long time, comedy more recently. I think we came into contact through Hoveland.
Yeah,
where
that's a few years ago now.
You play Rick Gold and various other hats that you wear.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, what is your role on Hard Times in the Maritimes? Are you the? No, you're not. James is the director. What are you?
I'm one of the producers, and I'm the director of photography. Hard Times is an episodic comedy show that we're shooting, and we're trying to, you know, we're trying to shoot it like we were pros, even though, you know, some of us are actually and some of us aren't. I got a lot of this stuff under my belt, you know, a lot of it with you through Hoveland. Hoveland was a vehicle that brought a lot of people together. You know, I met you, I met James and Adam Landry, of course, I met Marty D, I met Mark Splude, I met Jamie Splude, I met, did I say RF?
No.
Did I say RF's name right?
You did this time, yeah.
I did this time. All right, you know, all, and so many more people, but I've got a short memory. Sorry if I forgot anybody. I don't want to get like a Ken Bolton list going here.
Yeah, but, I've had Matt Copeland, he's the main... writer on it. I had him on a few months ago. That was before this all started up. I'll have him on again probably closer to when the episodes are coming out.
We're exactly halfway through shooting, so we've got I think six seasons and six episodes in our opening season, and we should be right in the middle as of Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I've seen the pilot.
The main issue that I have with the whole thing is that so far there's only two scenes with John Forward in them.
Yeah, but they're funny.
Yeah,
they're really funny.
Yeah, have you seen the other scripts? Am I in it anymore?
Yeah,
it's all very hush hush.
Yeah, no,
I don't really know. What's,
I'm in on the scripts. There's, right. I think there's more you. The season finale is going to have a little bit of all of us. I play two roles as well, two very small parts.
Oh, like Jeremy Irons, like the kinda. Playing your own twin?
Kind of. I play a newscaster that's behind a bench, and I play the gay devil.
Do you get to have a conversation with yourself?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, that's good.
Oh, darling, you know it.
Are you, are you saying that homosexuality is sinful?
No, I'm saying it's funny. And I'm saying that I celebrate funny all across all spectrums, and funny is all inclusive, and everybody, regardless of what letter of the alphabet you self-identify with, has a sense of humor, and everybody's going to love. I mean, we don't hold in hard times. We're not holding anything back. You know what? There are people out there who have particular, you know, skin tones. There's people who have particular philosophies. There's people that have different beards, people who don't have beards, blue eyes, black eyes, green eyes. And we're just making fun of them all. Everybody. There's no demographic. We're equally involving everybody in the fun.
Now, another project with your name attached to it.
Uh-oh.
Is the open mic comedy show at the Pub Down Under that you and Mark Splude were allegedly putting together.
Allegedly.
But seems that you fellas have been dragging your feet on that one.
Well, I wound up shattering my ankle in a very lovely
selfishly.
Way. Yeah, uh-huh, selfishly. And now we're in the middle of film season. So it's, you know, it's me. It's not Mark. It's all me. Sorry, you know, it's all me. Mark, blame me, baby. But right now I'm in the middle of three film festival projects, and I'm just bogged. I'm bogged down behind a camera. So I want to do it. All right. I just need to pick a night.
Well, I think Mark wanted to do it on Wednesdays.
Really?
Yeah.
Against every other open mic in the city?
The one. Or, well, in another one.
Well, that one's not very, historically speaking, that one is not very comedy friendly.
I did it a few times back like 10 years ago when I first tried comedy. It was not very friendly to me.
I mean,
I did it like three times when I first started again, like a few years ago, and it was better.
Well, as a musician, I've played in that bar, and any band I'm in is loud. I mean, really loud. And the people would still talk over you, even though, you know, you've got 100-watt amplifiers in a 100-square-foot room. still manage to talk over you.
It's more of a show than the Tuesday night on the boardwalk that I was doing weekly for a long time. So
I forgot all about that.
But unfortunately, we're going to have you back in to talk about this more because we're nearing the end of the program.
Oh, I like it.
We're at 9:58. Uh-oh. So Ian just told you about all his stuff. Is there anything else that people should check out that hasn't already been mentioned? Hard Times in the Maritimes, Hoveland. I have an episode of Ask Rick Gold on YouTube.
Ooh. So go to YouTube, Google Groove Hill Studio. Head over to Facebook, Google Groove Hill Studio. All one word, GROOVEHILL, however you spell studio. And check me out. Love me. Like me. Share me.
Yeah, and all my stuff's on johnforward.com, but I've got a heavy month of stuff coming up in June. This weekend
was a heavy month for you, is it?
The spot that I had to turn down from our local corporate comedy club because I'm going to see Tool. And
oh, jeez, you Tool. But, seriously, after all that, you turn the spot down to go see a band you've already seen.
But anyway, No Jokes Bar Deluxe at O'Leary's on June 2nd. Ken Bolton's Newbies are playing at the R Bar on the 10th. I have sent a text message to secure that show, so my job is done.
Sweet.
No Jokes Bar, 3-year anniversary on the 17th. And then the last weekend of June, I'll be opening for K. Trevor Wilson at Chuckles. So check that out. I'm looking forward to it. But let's close out the show with instrumental Are You Ready that ENSD is also some sort of part of.
I'm the high parts!